Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at BogerCityBaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Children, we thank you again so very much. It is the most blasphemous teaching in the Roman Catholic religion. It is called the Mass. Baptists call it the Lord's Supper. We believe that whenever we do this, and we'll be doing it again in a few weeks just before Easter, we believe that the bread on the table and the juice is symbolic of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Catholicism goes much further. Catholicism teaches that the bread becomes the literal flesh of Jesus, and the juice becomes his literal blood. It is called the Eucharist. The bread, Eucharist, coming from two Greek words, eu, E-U, and charis, grace or gift. Eucharis, good gift. They believe that that Eucharist and the juice is a sacrament, one of seven in Catholicism, and you must participate in it if you intend to go to heaven one day. You cannot be saved, Catholicism teaches, unless you partake of the Eucharist and be involved in the Mass. This sacrament was established by one of the popes way back in 1215 A.D. Now, when we come together and we take of the Lord's Supper, we look back at the cross. It is a memorial of what Jesus did for us by shedding his blood on Calvary. For the Catholic, it isn't a looking back as much as it is a cleansing from sin. It is the eating, literally, of the flesh and drinking of the blood of Jesus. I was thinking the other day, and it's kind of an unusual contrast, Catholics and Baptists use the same vocabulary, but we don't use the same dictionary. For example, you ask a Catholic, have you been born again? Now, all of us know what born again means. In John 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. For us, the new birth is repenting of our sins and putting our trust in Christ alone. A Catholic will answer your question, have you been born again, by saying, oh yes, absolutely, I was baptized when I was an infant and I became a Christian. God washed my sins away. Different dictionary. Ask a Catholic, are you a child of God? And they will say, yes, I immediately became a child of God when I was baptized as an infant. I asked a friend of mine one time in college, he was a Roman Catholic, I said, have you ever received the Lord? He said, yes, last Saturday afternoon at Mass, I received the Lord. They believe that when they partake of that bread and that juice, they are quite literally receiving the Lord into their body. That's what they mean when they say, I've received the Lord. Ask them, do you have the Holy Spirit? And they will say, yes, when I was confirmed at age 12, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. Definitions differ, even though our vocabulary may be the same. Now, I want to give you a long theological word, and it is transubstantiation. That's a six-syllable word. That's a big one. That's a big, long theological word. Let me tell you what it means. Trans means across. For example, if you take a transatlantic cruise, you are going across the Atlantic. Substantiation comes from the word substance. So literally, transubstantiation means substance that goes across. They believe that the priest, listen to this, has the God-given power to take substance across. The priest has the God-given authority to literally change the bread into the literal flesh, not the symbolic flesh as we believe, but literally the flesh and literally the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we'll see in just a moment just how horrible that doctrine is, because they believe that when they take the Lord's Supper, they are eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the re-crucified Christ. They believe that the priest has the power to change that substance from bread to flesh and from juice to blood right there on the Lord's Supper table. Let me quote from the Catholic Encyclopedia. The substance of the bread does not remain. It turns into flesh. The substance of wine does not remain. It turns into blood. During the Council of Trent in the 1500s, the Catholic Church established this dogma. This is the warning. If anyone denies the Lord's Supper is the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ, they will be damned to hell. Whosoever says that the Lord's Supper is merely symbolic, may they be damned to hell. In Matthew 26, Jesus said in verse 26, as they were taking the Lord's Supper, that Last Supper, this is my body. Did he mean that literally? No. How could that have been his body when he was sitting right there at the table with them? The two Greek words in this verse are telling. They are informative. The two Greek words are tautoesta. Literally, Jesus said, this bread and this blood represents my body. It is not my body, and it is certainly not my blood. That wasn't going to be shed until the next day on the cross. One of the most Catholic-oriented cities in the United States. So many Catholic churches and Catholic people in the city of Corpus Christi, Texas. Corpus is the word in Latin for body. Christos is the word Christ. The town Corpus Christi literally means body of Christ. But when we take the Lord's Supper, and we will again in just a few weeks, we are going to see that that body that Jesus hung on the cross in was never designed to do anything but hang there. It was not going to be changed hundreds of years later as God's people took the mass into real flesh. And that blood, while perfect eternal blood, was never going to be drunk by Christians as they later would take the Lord's Supper. Now I want you to turn with me to John 6 for a moment. John chapter 6. This doctrine lends itself to a sort of cannibalism where literal flesh is eaten and literal blood is received into the body. But in John 6, Jesus is going to clear up an issue here that is important, because Catholics will go to this verse to substantiate the literal eating and drinking of the body and blood of our Lord. John 6. But what we will understand in just a moment is Jesus was not being literal when he said this to those who were following after him. John chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse 53. Verse 53. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Stop there. Catholic dogma says that unless you take the Lord's Supper and believe in your heart that it is literal flesh and literal blood, you will never have the life of God in you. When we take it here, every time in this sanctuary when you take the juice and you eat the bread, you are not eating literal flesh and drinking literal blood, and that Lord's Supper has no power to impart eternal life to you. The Lord's Supper is a memorial when we look back and thank Him for the cross and what He did for us, but beyond that, it cannot give you one iota of grace, and it cannot give you one iota of eternal life. No, He said, and let's continue to read, verse 53, you don't have any life in you. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Well, they don't understand this. Verse 60, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? I'll tell you it's a hard saying. If I told you today that you had to eat the literal flesh of Jesus and drink his literal blood in order to go to heaven, you'd walk out of here saying, that's some strange preaching. That's a strange doctrine. Well, the disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant. He said to them in verse 61, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh proves nothing. And here's the key that unlocks the entire door of understanding. The next words. He said to them, the words that I speak to you are spiritual words. In other words, I'm not being literal when I tell you you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I am being symbolic. Etautestai represents symbolic of my blood and my flesh. Both of those suffered on the cross. The flesh of Jesus was torn on the cross. The blood of Christ was shed. But Christ, in this very instance, is not talking about anything literal, although the Catholics take this very literal. Jesus said, and if they would read that verse I just read in your hearing, you would understand these are spiritual words, not to be taken literally. Let me tell you what Christ is saying here. You must have me inside of you in order to have life. And that's true. That's true. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God. You do not receive Christ at the Lord's Supper table. As that Catholic friend of mine said when I asked him, have you ever received Christ? He said, yeah, last Saturday afternoon. I ate his flesh. I drank his blood. I received him. The Catholic teaching is that the Mass is the recreation. Don't let this escape you. This is the entire crux of the message today. Every time they do Mass, it is Jesus dying all over again. That is why, as my text today, I use the verse in Hebrews 7, Christ died once. 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 Now, here's what he's going to do, the priest. If you've ever seen a Mass on television, or maybe you've attended one, you know that the priest, at this critical juncture in the Mass, he is going to utter three Latin words, and here they are. Corpus, that means body. Corpus. Meos. Hocus. Sometimes he reverses it. Hocus, corpus, meos. You ever seen a magician change one thing into another? What do they say? Hocus? Go ahead. Pocus. Hocus pocus. I'm changing one thing into another. The words hocus corpus meus means this bread is changing right now into the body of Jesus, and this wine is changing immediately into the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Catholic Church never considers verse 63. These words are not literal. These words are spirit and they are life. So I don't get eternal life by anything I eat or by anything I drink. This is one of the great problems I have with the crucifix. I would urge you never to wear one. If you do, let me remind you that the crucifix is Jesus still on the cross. You see that cross up there? It is empty. Empty. I've been to the tomb in Jerusalem where Christ was buried. It is empty. The manger is empty. He didn't stay there. The cross is empty. He didn't stay there. Tomb is empty. He didn't stay there. Jesus stayed on the cross for a period of 6 short hours, and then he came off the cross and out of the tomb. The crucifix, if you're not careful, can deceive you into believing, and it does many, many, many people, that the cross is not empty, that he is still there. 6 hours is all it took for him to pay for every sin that had ever been committed, was being committed, or would be committed. 6 hours. Six is the number of man. Man was created on day six. I don't think it's any coincidence. It took Jesus 6 hours to pay for our sins, because that is the number of sinful humanity. Now, the priest, during the Mass, will take the wafer that he has already turned into the literal body of Jesus, hocus corpus meus. So now he is no longer holding a literal piece of bread, it is flesh. And they will stand in line to come and receive the Eucharist, and he will put it on the tongue of the congregate, and he will swallow the flesh of Jesus. And then he will take the cup, and he will literally drink of the literal blood of Jesus. To the best of our understanding, 200,000 masses are performed all over the world every day in Catholic churches. 200,000. That means that every day, 200,000 times across the planet, Jesus dies again. Because they believe that the priest is sacrificing the body and blood all over again. That is blasphemy. Blasphemy. He died how many times? Once. It takes the Lamb of God who died once, and it kills him over and over and over and over and over again. He is continually dying, and yet he said in John 19:30, it is finished. One time, one sacrifice for sins forever. Now, I want to tell you how I am absolutely convinced that Catholics are absolutely convinced that the wine and the bread is the literal blood and body of Jesus. I talked to Reba Cordell this morning. I called her yesterday and asked her. She serves on the Lord's Supper Committee here. And I said, Reba, I'm talking tomorrow about the Mass. And I said, I just want to make sure, I know this is the case, but I just want to make sure that when you folks are through with the Lord's Supper, you take the juice in the little cups and the bread in the canister, and you take it back into the preparation room, and you don't keep it, do you? She said, no. She said, what's left over, we throw away. I said, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know why we throw the juice away? Because it is Welch's grape juice. I don't mean to be offensive. We bought it at Ingles. It is not the blood of Jesus. It represents His blood. We throw the bread away. It is unleavened bread. It is not the body of Jesus. You say, why do we eat of unleavened bread? And some of you have remarked to me over the years, our bread just tastes awful at the Lord's Supper. It's because there's no leaven in it. It's going to taste awful. Leaven is a picture of sin. It's a picture of iniquity. That's why when the Jews partook of the Passover, the bread had to be unleavened. Jesus is that bread that came down from heaven, and He is without sin. So here's what we do. We throw it down the drain. Not in Catholicism. After every Mass, if there is wine and bread left over, they never throw it away. They consume it. They will put it in the refrigerator, and the priest will drink it later. They do not throw it away until it is consumed days or weeks later. After all, why would you want to throw the blood of Jesus down the drain? Why would you want to dispose of His body? They eat it all and drink it all because they are absolutely convinced it is His blood and His body. To close, I want you to turn back to where we started, Hebrews chapter 7, would you? Hebrews chapter 7. Just stay in Hebrews. We're going to go from Hebrews 7 to Hebrews 9 to Hebrews 10. For those of you who have been coming on Sunday nights for the last year and a half as we've been studying this book of Hebrews, you know that this is the operative word in the whole book. If you had to pick one word in the book of Hebrews that would best characterize the book of Hebrews, here it is. Hebrews 7. We were there a moment ago. Verse 26. He does not need to sacrifice. Look at verse 26. Every day, first for his own sins and then for the people's. Isn't that amazing? The high priest in the days of the Old Testament, first of all, had to go into the tabernacle, which later became the temple, and he offered a sacrifice first for his sins. That's a sinful priest offering sacrifices for sinful people. It is like I spoke of a few weeks ago when we talked about the confessional booth. Sinful man confessing his sins to a sinful priest. He doesn't need to do that. Our Lord does not need to offer these sacrifices often. But according to this verse, He died what? Once for all. Once. Turn over to Hebrews 9:26. Hebrews 9:26. The word once turns the entire issue around. Once. No, Catholics say He's offered on average 200,000 times a day. What it does is it keeps Him on the cross. Now, if you can tell me a greater blasphemy than that, I'd like to hear it. On any given minute, anywhere in the world, Jesus is hung on the cross again during the Mass. But according to Hebrews 9:26, the writer says, He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. According to this verse, Jesus was not sacrificed. He sacrificed Himself. Big difference. Jesus said to Pilate, "You cannot take my life from me. It is mine to lay down and take up again." No one killed Jesus. He offered Himself. Look in Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed once to die, after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to put away sin. Look in Hebrews 10:11. Hebrews 10, verse 11, turn the page. The 10th verse 11th verse, chapter 10. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, and in my Bible the word man is capital M, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He died once, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, never to die again. Your salvation is paid for. Bow your heads together. With our heads bowed, our